This is the Todd Wright Toddcast, episode 70 of inaugural year 2019. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for subscribing to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Among the presenting sponsors is the Outback Bowl, because the Outback Bowl has the longest standing active title game sponsor in Outback Steakhouse. It is 25 years running. The Bowl has been in Tampa Bay for 33 years. I attended the first ever then Hall of Fame Bowl in Tampa when it was relocated from Birmingham, Alabama, and have had a very strong relationship with the bowl game, Jim McVay, Mike Schultze, ever since. I thank them for their support of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, and I encourage you in the Tampa Bay area to go out and see Auburn play in the Outback Bowl for the fifth time against a first-time participant from the Big Ten, the 10-win Minnesota Golden Gophers under one of the more exciting young head coaches in all of major college football in PJ Fleck. That comes up on New Year's Day at 1 p.m. Now, for years, they were 11 a.m., and that was tough. No longer. It's 1 p.m. on New Year's Day at Raymond James Stadium. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And for more info on other Outback Bowl events, just go to OutbackBowl.com. Let me also thank Pin Chasers as they wrap up their 60th anniversary year in Tampa Bay with the three locations, 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills, 4847 North Armenia in Midtown Tampa, where I took the Identity Tampa Bay, my new friends there, where I have my What Are the Odds webcast. You can find that via the Identity Tampa Bay. Took them there for some afternoon holiday fun a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, the location closest to me and closest to Tampa International Airport, it is literally just across the street from the north end of the landing strip at TIA, or as it's called via the codes, TPA, 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just east of the Veterans Expressway. Terrific destination for birthday parties, group outings, get out of the rain, get out of the cold, get out of the heat. You never pay for shoes. They'll even offer you a new pair of socks if you don't have socks to go with those shoes that you would have to rent at other locations. Visit pingchasers.net or follow Ping Chasers on Facebook for all their specials. Also, Full Torque Fitness. Thank you, Daniel Shipman, for your sponsorship of the Toddcast and your support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Visit fulltorquefitness.com, fulltorquefitness.com. If you suffer from back pain while playing golf, if you get tired from playing golf, or just feel like your hips are not allowing you to height and flight the golf ball properly, Daniel Shipman can help you by putting you through a Titleist Performance Institute screen. The testimonials speak volumes about the work that Daniel does, and I can just speak from a human being standpoint about what a detail-oriented, proud guy Daniel is about what he does. Fulltorquefitness.com, call 727-351-5164. Thank you for allowing me to acknowledge all the people that support this Toddcast. As I have often said on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which just wrapped up season four, this keeps the content free for you. And especially in the fantasy world where so much of the content has become paid, and it really stinks. I don't want you to pay for my podcasts. So if you give me a few minutes to talk about Full Torque Fitness and Ping Chasers and the Outback Bowl, and next month West Chase Golf Club that just hosted Todd Wright Tour XXII, they pay for it. So you don't have to. All right. Thank you for your patience. Remember, my email for this Toddcast purpose is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. If you post on a message board, whether it's joebucksfan.com or elsewhere, about what you think of this podcast, you're a coward. If you would like to make a comment about the Toddcast, any of the material, please put your name on it, be accountable for it, put it in an email you own, and send it to me so I can look at it, and I can send you my response to it, and perhaps we'll have a dialogue that will solve whatever your issues are. Again, message boards do nothing but make you look like a coward. So if you have a comment about anything I'm doing here, you should put your name on it, be accountable for it. You want me to be accountable, right? You be accountable as well. Write.todd@yahoo.com. I'm cutting this Toddcast on Sunday afternoon, roughly 2 p.m., after simply watching a lot of college football in the sixth year of the college football playoff with the back-to-back semifinals on Saturday. Let me first say, I actually enjoyed the fact that the games were as early as they were. I know it's sort of odd that all these other traditional New Year's Day bowls are going to be played after the semifinals, but I think it helped the better teams, and they should be playing at a high level, that they were playing exactly 3 weeks after they played their last game. We had gone, in the BCS era especially, as many as 40-plus days between games for the best teams in college football, and it led to sloppy play. I don't want that. I don't think you want that either. So I think having just 3 weeks between the games turned out to be a good thing because we saw at least three of the four teams at their best. I'll talk about OU and just how they were overmatched. But I think we did see the three unbeatens going into the college football playoff play at or near their best in many ways. And I think having just 3 weeks since they last played was a part of that. By the way, now we're going to skip over 2+ weeks before the title game. Don't get used to it. They're not going to a Super Bowl format. That wasn't the plan. When this year of the college football playoff was originally set up, the plan was to play these games on New Year's Eve because they had planned them many years in advance. The first year that they played games on New Year's Eve was a disaster. College football was arrogant in thinking people would change their plans from traditional New Year's plans to watching college football. It didn't happen. The ratings from the previous year of the college football playoff to the year that the games fell on New Year's Eve dropped 40%. 40% less in the television ratings. And considering how much television money drives all of this, they had to correct it, and they did. So they took this year's games, and they have done this in other years as well. Basically, they have to find a spot for games because the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl are always going to be back-to-back on New Year's Day. That never changes. But the other four New Year's Six Bowl games that rotate have to find another date because the Rose Bowl is always going to be on New Year's Day, whether they host a CFP game or their traditional Big Ten Pac-12 matchup. That's just how much the Rose Bowl drives college football. So that all said, they had to move a bunch of things for future years, and in this year, they moved the games up. And I think that was good for the best teams, the three unbeatens, that there were only 3 weeks since they last played. However, they weren't able to move the title game. They would have liked to have done that, but they really couldn't for multiple reasons. So that's why this year there's 2+ weeks. Actually, it's 16 days between the semifinals and the title game. Don't get used to it. They don't want to do that. They want to play it just a week or just a week plus on the Monday following the semifinals. And that is the plan going forward. Also, a great friend of mine who I play golf with, who listens to the Toddcast, and I talk college football with, was asking me this morning, said, now that we're 6 years in, amazing, we're 6 years into what I think was either a 10 or a 12-year deal for this college football playoff format, is there any talk about how they're going to change this? And because this is what college football does. They, you know, we've had bowl alliances and bowl coalitions, and we've had a BCS and a BCS plus one, and then we have the college football playoff. And will there be an increase in the teams in the college football playoff? Now, I will say that the number four team getting blasted by the number one team, as we saw with OU losing to LSU. And I'll talk more about Oklahoma here in a moment. It doesn't help the argument that there needs to be more teams. Now, that said, I know there is discussion about expanding the field to 6 or 8. A lot of things would have to happen for us to get to that point. I think eventually we will. But yes, there is talk about expanding the number of teams that make the playoff to 6 or going to a full 8. And how would that 8 work? Look, they're just talking about this now. But my expectation would be that the first set of games, which would all be quarterfinals, would be played at campus sites and hosted by seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4. Also, I think the conference title games need to go away. And in most cases, that's fine. It's a lot of empty seats. It doesn't have much positive impact on the schedule. I think the difficult sell is going to be asking the SEC to give up its championship game, because that's the only one that really works. That's the one that's always full. That's the one that has atmosphere about it, around it. That's the one that has the natural destination of Atlanta that has hosted it ever since the first few years were at Legion Field in Birmingham. But the selling point would probably, and I'm sure it's a big part of the CBS-SEC contract, so CBS would have to be given something back in exchange for losing the rights to that game, unless CBS was allowed in on the first round of the college football playoff, because it would be more expensive for ESPN to buy the whole thing. They pay for 3 games now. Actually, they pay for more than that because they've got the New Year's Six Bowls. So they have 7 games as part of the TV contract. I'm sure if CBS is giving up the SEC title game, they might be like, hey, what are you going to give us in return? Are you going to get us in on this playoff? Maybe in the first round or something. I don't know how much more money ESPN has to spend. They just did the 9th Star Wars movie. I guess at some point they'll make a 10, 11, and a 12. But, right, we all know the Star Wars movies have basically paid for what ESPN does. There is talk about expanding it. If they go to 8, what it does is it allows the disgruntled commissioner of the Conference of Inconsequence, the Pac-12, it throws them the bone and says, yeah, your conference champ is in. Good luck to you. So it guarantees all the Power 5 a spot, and I think at that point the Group of 5 would also be guaranteed no worse than the 8th spot. So these schools like UCF and other American schools, or Boise, or when App State gets there and they're close, and they pound their chests and say, what about us, what about us, what about us, give us a chance, that would allow them to get in. And it also leaves the door open for Notre Dame to qualify, as well as a worthy conference to put in 2 schools, most notably the SEC, right? And if you're trying to sell to the SEC that you got to give up your conference title game, I think here's the way you sell it. You say, well, if we had the 8-team format this past year, Georgia would be hosting a 4-5 game in the playoff rather than getting knocked out. That's a pretty good selling point to me. But again, it's all going to come down to money, and the SEC does make a lot of money off its conference title game, significantly more than other conferences do, and it just works better. I know, I've attended it. I often say that the 3 college football experiences to me that are above anything else, and I've been to title games all over the country, I've been to bowl games all over the country, I've been to regular season games a lot of different places. You got to remove your biases here and just listen to me. The three experiences to me that are the best: any home game at Notre Dame, the Rose Bowl game, and the SEC Championship game. Those to me are the three best. Yes, I've been to Texas OU. It's cool. I've been to Florida, Georgia. It's cool. I've been to a number of other home sites for big games or just games, and I know about the tailgating, etc. The three best college football experiences to me annually are the Rose Bowl game, any home game at Notre Dame, and the SEC Championship game. And that's coming from a Miami alum, because since Donna Shalala had them destroy the Orange Bowl, thank you, Donna, dumb Donna, that one isn't there anymore in South Florida. And I talked about Miami on the previous podcast. So let's talk about the four this year in Oklahoma, because I made a big point of saying when the playoff came out how the Pac-12 had a conflict of interest with the AD being chair of the committee and how they were clearly pushing a Pac-12 team to get in. Thankfully, a Pac-12 team didn't, and don't think for one damn minute that Oregon or Utah would have done any better than OU against LSU. Just don't. Nope. Oklahoma was the best of the non-Big Three in college football this year. If it wasn't for Oklahoma, Baylor would be in. Baylor would have been undefeated. Oklahoma beat them not once but twice and never had a home game in doing it. They beat them on Baylor's home field, down 25, and then they beat them at Jerry World. So Oklahoma earned their way in, but they just weren't of the same level. And even though they were the number one defense in the Big 12, I know, insert your own joke there. And LSU proved worthy of being the number one team going into the playoff by effectively ending that game prior to halftime. Now, I will say that I have said all last year that I was tired of Notre Dame being on the big stage under Brian Kelly because they don't show. They don't make it interesting. I have to now apply that to OU going forward. And sure, they were in that wild Rose Bowl game a few years ago. They made it exciting. In the end, they lost. Georgia advanced to the title game. Baker Mayfield, I guess, played with a bad shoulder in the second half, but a terrific game. And the college football playoff hasn't had many terrific games. But OU just keeps coming up short. You know, it's one thing to get there. I say this a lot about pro football. Do you just want to be a playoff team every year, or do you want a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl? I now say this about Oklahoma, as I have felt about Brian Kelly's Notre Dame. And I know Lincoln Riley's only been there 3 years, but he's sort of inheriting the not-so-big game Bob reputation that preceded the coach in front of him, that preceded him, that preceded Lincoln Riley with Bob Stoops. So no, I don't want to see Oklahoma in the playoff next year. That said, if they earn their way in, they earn their way in. Is someone in the Big 12 actually going to defeat them? Because clearly Oklahoma at least is a top-tier team better than anything the Pac-12 has. There's no argument to be made by Oregon or Utah or anyone in the conference of inconsequence that is the Pac-12. And thankfully, Memphis did lose in the Cotton Bowl to Penn State, just because I don't want to hear you American P6 apologists saying, see, look at us, look at us, look at us, look at what we did. No, you lost. There is no Power 6. As a matter of fact, I even say there's no real even Power 5. The Pac-12 isn't in this conversation, and they don't have a team in the playoff until they actually get an elite team. Look, I'll give the American apologists that head-to-head they could probably compete with some of the schools in the Pac-12, and they could probably compete with some of the schools currently in the ACC, but you don't have a Clemson. You don't. and Clemson, while some were questioning if they had been tested, you saw Trevor Lawrence answer that question on the field, both in his play and then after the game to, Tom Rinaldi? It wasn't Maria Taylor, because I think Maria Taylor talked to Dabo. Is it funny to me with Maria Taylor and Dabo? Maria Taylor, it's almost like if you watch WWE. My guest at this time, Dabo Sweeney. And no matter what question you ask, Dabo's just going to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. At least he talks. Most of these coaches, they don't say very much. All right, but back to OU. They still earn their way in, but until they're ready to actually compete and can be a title contender, I would like to see someone in the Big 12 knock them off and get someone else in there, just as I have felt about Brian Kelly's Notre Dame teams and how bad they've been in recent BCS title games or the college football playoff. LSU, I can't offer you any more. You saw it. They could have hung 100 on them. They could have. I have nothing more to add, nothing negative to say about LSU. And they are a very deserving team in the title game. And clearly, a lot of those individual awards they received for coaching, assistant coaches, quarterback, wide receiver, defensive back, very worthy. Ohio State and Clemson played one of the better games in the six-year history of the college football playoff. I think both played at a high level, and I really enjoyed watching the game. In the end, Vegas, remember, immediately favored Clemson over Ohio State. Vegas got it right. Clemson was the better team. Clemson came back from 16-0 down and then came back from down in the last 3 minutes of the game with a four-play, 90-plus yard drive. Boom, 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 and Clemson leads again. And sure, Clemson hadn't played a team like Ohio State all year. Clemson made in-game adjustments because Ohio State, in getting out to that 16-0 lead, and it should have been bigger, Clemson was too aggressive, but they adjusted. And that's the difference between a winning coaching staff and a losing coaching staff. That's the difference between Clemson and Florida State. And there are other programs other than Willie Taggart's that can adjust in-game, but that's a good example. Clemson can adjust in-game, and you saw it in what they did against Ohio State. Ohio State settling for field goals, or on the drive that took, what, roughly 6 minutes of the clock off when they were leading late and then punting back to Clemson, they got to get more points out of those trips. It's a credit to Clemson that they kept Ohio State out of the end zone, but those were multiple missed opportunities by the Buckeyes offense, and that's just going to get you. That gets you in college football, and it gets you in the NFL when you're playing another team at a high level and you're leaving points out there. And Ohio State did it again at the end when Fields threw the interception, admittedly, when his wide receiver did a 180 on him, causing Fields to throw a ball that he otherwise would not have thrown. I don't put that on Fields. I put that on the wide receiver doing something that he probably had never done to Justin Fields, and the result ended the game. So in my opinion, we do get the two best teams playing in the title game, just as Vegas laid it out. And from the College Football Playoff Committee, you say, well, they had them third. Well, they had them third because there are other factors other than just record and opinion that go into your seeding of the college football playoff. You couldn't have put Clemson as two or one ahead of LSU and Ohio State. Let's see what Ryan Day and his staff do going forward. I wonder if we're going to see a slide here like we saw when Chip Kelly left Oregon, where he leaves Oregon, They do play in the college football playoff. They win big in the semi, and then they lost in the title game to Ohio State, ironically. And then it was a steady slide down, eventually resulting in him losing his job. And now Mario Cristobal's trying to get Oregon back after they were very fortunate that Willie Taggart bailed after 1 year. That said, I'm told by people who know more than me about college football coaching and recruiting and staffs and cover it exclusively that Ryan Day is someone who can prevent the slide. I just need to see it because I think Ohio State's recent success was a lot due to Urban Meyer, and Ryan Day was handed that situation. Now, what's he going to do with it going forward? Another year removed from Urban Meyer. Would Urban Meyer have lost that game last night? You know, I don't think so. Now, I know Meyer got shut out by Clemson in a similar scenario. What? Was it 3 years before? Two, 3 years before? Something like that? I don't know. I don't think so. But that said, I want to see what Ryan Day does going forward. I want to believe in Ryan Day that he will maintain this high level for the Ohio State program, and I think Ohio State played great. And I'll just finish acknowledging the elephant in the room. At least Ohio State players fought on the field, and it was admirable what they did. Their fans on social media after the game, shame on you. Your players deserve better than that. They fought. They played well. They showed well. Your comments on social media about how officiating cost you the game and ESPN cost you the game because of how the seedings were, shame on you. You wonder why so many people in college football, just not the state up north, hate your fan base. This is why. It's such a millennial attitude to not be accountable for why you came up short and appreciate the performance of your team, because I certainly did. And I will remember fondly both Clemson and Ohio State from this college football playoff game, not the lame commentary that followed from their whiny little fan base. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by the Outback Bowl. Remember, New Year's Day, Raymond James Stadium, 1 p.m., Auburn, Minnesota. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Visit OutbackBowl.com for adjacent events. My thanks also to Pin Chasers and to Full Torque Fitness for their support of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We will crank out a few more Todd Wright Toddcasts before the end of 2019. Remember, I'm on Instagram at ToddWright2020 or follow me on Facebook. I'm Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for listening.